everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we try to inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce community, ecosystem, and beyond. For today's episode, we are focusing on what it takes to be more DevOps. So a little bit of a hot topic in the Salesforce ecosystem. Everybody loves to talk about it. So looking forward to diving in and understanding what it means to be more DevOps and understanding as well the type of things that you do in a role as somebody kind of involved in DevOps and perhaps the other people that you work with as well, their roles too. So for today's session, I am joined by Julian. So Julian, are you able to introduce yourself for us, please?
Yep. Thanks for having me. Name's Julian Joseph, pronouns he, him. I've been in the Salesforce space for about 8 years now, originally from Austin, Texas, living in San Diego, California. Lived in Korea as well for a bit, teaching English, so kind of been all over. Started off at a Salesforce nonprofit, a nonprofit using Salesforce as an accidental admin.
Yeah.
Worked for a while at Salesforce Partners, including Salesforce.com. And most recently at a company called BOK in the banking sector.
Okay, awesome. That sounds great. And looking forward to kind of getting stuck into DevOps with today's session. So maybe kind of break it down for us and appreciate kind of a little bit of a subjective question here. But what does it mean to be more DevOps? Like, what does that role typically entail, do you think?
Yeah, so I'd say when I think about DevOps, I think about empowering an engineering or development team, ideally helping that team be as efficient as possible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that, what it looks like is helping them set up environments, which in Salesforce is Salesforce orgs, so that they can either develop or test easier or even design, just depending on whatever the focuses are of that team. And yeah, setting up any tooling, whether it's with version control, things like GitHub, GitLab, or just Git in general, helping that team to automate processes that they're probably doing manual day to day that isn't really directly their job, but is allowing them to do their job easier. And so a lot of teams are doing this in a somewhat manual way. And then somebody doing DevOps comes in to help automate it, either automate with actual tooling, or sometimes it's just actually creating a process. I say oftentimes actually creating a process that works for that team.
Yeah.
So that they just can do it in a repeatable and efficient way.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And I think that's obviously the goal, is kind of efficiency and perhaps governance ways of working as well, right? Do you think that's the case?
Definitely. Yeah. My primary metric that I'm always looking at is amount of dev hours or engineer hours saved typically. And so if I'm doing something that is saving them time, ideally a lot of time, for example, if it's like manually setting up an org that they're having to set up one by one, I'm automating that. So ideally it's like a click of a button, everything gets set up and they've just saved that much time so they can jump into development, testing, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess you get that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling inside, right? When you kind of look at those metrics and you see how much time you've managed to save people.
Definitely. Yeah. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's like fun being part of the team and enjoyable being part of the team that I'm directly helping. And so my customers are the team that I'm on and serving. And yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay. And kind of talking about the role around DevOps, what other people do you interact with? I mean, we've touched on developers already, but there's probably more people that you work with on a day-to-day basis to make sure things are running smoothly, right?
Definitely. Yeah. So developers, and I mentioned QA. Mm-hmm. A lot of time in particular, besides, obviously setting up spaces for QAs to test, it's also helping QA to run their automated tests. And so probably they have some tooling to run it, but it's helping them put it in the right environments, in the right places, running as efficiently as possible, but also not hogging up too many resources, because usually are limited by either Salesforce limits or just, you know, just time in general. And so finding good ways to and the right time to run those run those tests. Also working with sometimes product owners and often especially project managers on teams, because mm-hmm. often a project manager, let's say they might be using a tool like Jira to manage the process. And so I might come in and support some with automation there, or just maybe hooking up, let's say, that project management tool like Jira with another tool like the version control tool like GitLab, so that if you're perhaps like updating a ticket in one place, it's transferring over to your version control or to your Salesforce environments in a way, again, that is efficient as possible. Design as well could be another team that I'm working with. Again, usually that comes into creating spaces for them to do design. I'd say that's often something that's forgotten in the Salesforce space. Is like sometimes designers have to like just design within a design tool, which I'm sure could be great, but at some point they need an environment to to verify it in. And if you can give them an environment in a space early on, then they can do their design in a more realistic way. So yeah, those are some of the most common people. I'd say also a lot of business stakeholders. Because I am like focusing on those metrics of like saving developer time, the question will come pretty often: exactly how much time is being saved? Where can we use you most efficiently? More often than not, I'd say DevOps is under-resourced, especially in the Salesforce space. And so there's probably multiple areas that I could be used, but it's also, you know, it's figuring out where it's going to be the most vital place like early on. And that's typically where like the business stakeholder comes in.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of those high hitting areas where you can save the most amount of time. And as with most things, right, the management team are often interested in those numbers because they build the use case to have you as part of the team. And obviously you can then illustrate your value, right, with those numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one more I didn't mention was architects, because I think that's kind of like a mix of maybe like the dev lead, let's say, and or a business stakeholder. Typically, that's probably actually the engineer I'm most closely working with, is whoever is thinking about maybe refactoring projects or security projects, things like that, because those are often the way they're implemented is with DevOps in mind, whether it's, you know, renaming a bunch of classes or moving them around. Yeah. That probably involves some basically large scale DevOps task to kind of make a bulk change or at least document that change so that the rest of the team is aware.
Yeah, exactly. And we've kind of lent on some concepts already in terms of automated testing and kind of backing up things into version control and having that kind of element of version control in the first place, really. Appreciate there's a lot of different tools out there. Are there any tools that you are currently using that you enjoy using, perhaps?
Yeah, and I've mostly come up in terms of my DevOps skill set in partner environments. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is like managed packages, ISVs. And so Salesforce users that are actually creating packages for other people to use. So a lot of times it's like integrations into maybe their own tooling or even standalone managed packages like NPSP, which is an open source nonprofit focused one. And so, and for that kind of DevOps work, I've actually used a tool, Cumulo CI, quite a bit. That was actually developed in-house at Salesforce by the release engineering team at salesforce.org, specifically that nonprofit kind of focused group within Salesforce. And so it can be used outside of just partner environments and outside of just like managed package context, but it's especially good at that in an area where a lot of other DevOps tools are not really focused on that. They're more focused on customers. More recently, though, I've gotten more familiar with AutoRabbit. That's a tool I've been focusing on. I'm actually about to go to conference there next week. And so, hoping to learn a lot But yeah, that's one of the tools. If you think of AutoRabbit, there's also Copado, Gearset, Flowsome. Those are, Provar, I'd say, like the big tools out there. Provar on the testing side. Those are the big ones that customers are using in particular to manage their DevOps process.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. And yeah, there are ultimately a selection of different tools. And I think a little bit like your DevOps process, different tools are going to work for different businesses and kind of different ways of working. So I think it's important to consider that really. So thinking about this in terms of your typical day to day, are you primarily focused around kind of DevOps as a principle the entire kind of your working day? Or do you have other responsibilities as well? Maybe it kind of leans into release management a little bit or something slightly different. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Nowadays, I'd say I am in a role where it's primary DevOps focused, but I definitely have been in roles where, especially it's like a mix of testing. And so that's part of my background, actually. In kind of like my middle years of my career, I was a quality engineer. And I still, I'd say my heart is there in a lot of ways in terms of like testing and thinking with that mindset. And so I've been in roles that kind of mix that test automation and the DevOps side of it. So like where to do that testing. And that's actually how I made my transition to DevOps. You mentioned release management, and definitely that is something it comes to mind a lot, because I think there is a strong overlap in people's minds or even confusion between like doing DevOps and doing release management. And so I think anybody you ask probably draws that line in different places, but where I see the difference is release management usually gets a little bit more into project management and this idea of the one actually finalizing the release and verifying it has all the right components. And then also being really conscious of like, when is the timing of that release and communicating to team members, if there's a delay or if, you know, any of those dates are changing, which sometimes I've definitely seen roles where it says DevOps and you read the description, it looks a lot more like a release manager and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely been asked times like, is that going to be my focus? And I've supported release tasks. But yeah, I think the difference there is, if with the DevOps focus, the way you're supporting the release is like thinking about how can it be automated, how are releases, basically the technical side of how the release is being done, but not necessarily the one actually performing the release tasks themselves.
Yeah.
Besides supporting the automation of it or supporting, you know, whatever tooling needs to go around it.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I think that makes perfect sense. And kind of thinking about it now as somebody that's maybe looking to explore or kind of go further in the world of DevOps with a kind of Salesforce tinted background, we've already mentioned Cumulus CI, which I think a while back I did the food bank challenge on Trailhead. I think that's a great way to get started. Are there any other kind of tools, resources out there that you think are good for somebody that just wants to learn more and kind of understand that little bit of DevOps or perhaps something different?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think doing that trail you just mentioned is I agree. It's a great way to start. It's free. It's there on Trailhead. So if you're familiar with Trailhead, that's should be pretty familiar. But definitely, I mean, besides the tools I mentioned, those Copado, Gearset, AutoRabbit, Flowsome, those are kind of the big ones. And I think there's some other cool ones that are coming out. Hutte is another one, Hutte, which actually I believe both does partner and customer focused DevOps tooling.
Yeah.
Those are good ones to look at. Actually, that last one I mentioned, Hutte, is really good in terms of simplicity. So you can get a trial going and mess around with it pretty easily. I did a little class just for fun with some friends, and it was really good for like that quick learning aspect. But separately, I would say even before going to some of these tools, if there isn't already a foundation in version control, I would definitely like get familiar with that. So Git, GitHub, there are also some great trails on Trailhead just about these tools. And so learning how to work with branches and moving code from your local computer up into the cloud and back down and doing things like merging. And then, of course, also the Salesforce CLI. And so a lot of people still call it SFDX, but the SF CLI, the DX, which was kind of rebranded relatively recently, is a good one to get familiar with, because I'd say the foundations of a lot of DevOps automation is knowing how to work with your local terminal, then learning how to work with the app in that terminal. So like the SF CLI, which allows you to automate a lot of things with Salesforce. And often the last step is actually building the automation, which is using a feature like GitHub Actions, which is a CI/CD tool. So continuous integration, continuous development tool to allow you to automate basically whatever you kind of like built locally in the cloud. And that allows you to, that's usually what a lot of devs are doing, maybe step by step manually, or maybe they built their own little automation bash script locally. And then if you're doing DevOps, you're probably taking what they're doing locally on their computer and you're putting it into the cloud or adding to it, making it more efficient, doing things like that. And so that's pretty, I would say, like working with that CLI, working with Git version control, Git, GitHub, those are pretty, in a sense, tool agnostic. Because they're kind of used by everybody, or they're, or very similar tooling is used by everyone. And then these kind of higher level tools that have UIs that go on top of them. So that's the Copata, Flowsome, things like that. That's where you're basically, you probably need to understand it at a higher level, because what it's doing is working with this kind of lower level tooling that you hopefully are familiar with. And then you're kind of taking it to the next level and doing some like recipes and things that they're recommending you do all at once.
Yeah, totally get that. And I think you will ultimately, I think over time, as you build up that experience, and I think it's important, like you said, to get that hands-on experience, that there's some even more trailheads out there on the Salesforce CLI. And I think there's the bike store sample project that you can download from GitHub, or you upload to GitHub, one of the two. And I think that was eye-opening for me as somebody a couple of years ago kind of getting into that, and even just understanding the art of the possible, really. I think that that's important. And kind of as you hinted at, I think it's important to get a mixture of like theory and hands-on. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, learning how to do it yourself, I think there's nothing quite like it. And I mean, you can even create, for those who are familiar with like creating their own environments, sandboxes, or ideally scratch orgs, which is like a bit more common on the partner side of things, but I'm still a good tool to learn how to do. Just being able to build some of that yourself, and even practice. Hey, maybe I want to just like run a test. Like, what if I wanted to run a test every time I made a change to the code base? Figuring out how to do that relatively common action, that's something that's relatively simple to do, very foundational, but a lot of teams still aren't doing it. And that's like knowing how to help a team do that. That's basically doing DevOps. And I have a lot of developer friends or admin friends that they've heard about this, or they've seen it working with other people, and they want to do it. I would definitely recommend just tinkering around with it. Whether if you have some tests that you know, like let's say your development team is they run maybe manually or like kind of semi automated, and you can think of a way to improve that. I'd say just start messing around with it on your own. See what tools you need to learn. If you have somebody already doing DevOps, start to ask them about it. I can tell you, like being somebody who does DevOps, like the best thing or the most exciting thing for me is when somebody on the team wants to automate something that they're doing. Because I talked about doing a lot of that automation myself, but really I think the most ideal is like teaching the team how to do it on their own. And I'm building the foundation or the knowledge base of for them to be able to self-empower, because at the end of the day, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep up with everything that they're doing in terms of automation. My automation is always going to be behind. And so if they're able to do this on their own, if they're able to figure out on their own, and I just kind of create the foundation of either learning or things like that, that'll be the most ideal. That'll help them to like really make sure that that automation is keeping up with everything they're developing. So yeah, just start doing it. Start messing around. I'm happy to share and like have chats, and I've done many of those like through with people on LinkedIn whenever I can. Mm-hmm. But yeah, find some of that tooling and learning out there and give it a try.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I think that's great. And thinking about this, I think obviously part of that journey is inevitably making mistakes and learning from those mistakes so you don't repeat the same issue or have the same challenge again. Is there anything, thinking about your own journey, kind of looking back a little bit now, that if you were to do things again, that you would change or you would do differently or perhaps approach in a different way?
Yeah, I probably should have an answer that says yes. I should answer yes, but I honestly thought about this for a bit, and there's not much that comes to mind immediately, at least not from the like career decision standpoint. I will say if you like look at my LinkedIn or my personal site, you'll see that I talk a lot about pay equity, and I would say on like compensation side of things and like recognizing the roles that I was doing. And so I was just talking about do a little bit of DevOps on your own and get familiar with it. And I would say on the career side of that, get paid for that work that you're doing as soon as possible. Yeah. And what that looks like is being able to show like value that you're adding. Of course, tinker around and have fun. Don't feel like not everything has to be for a buck. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you've built something that you see actually being useful to you or to another teammate and you're saving them time, start to track that. I think that's something in my career I wish I was doing really early on, is track how much time I was saving myself, saving other people, start to estimate the value that I'm bringing. Like, how much is that? If you kind of like estimate out that person's hourly wage and how many hours you're saving, you've got you've got a dollar amount that you're saving somebody else. And that's something you can take to your manager, you can take to your director to say, hey, I'm doing this. Give me more resources to be able to do it. Maybe early on, that's just them giving you some more time to be able to do it, to say, hey, you're doing less of whatever day-to-day job you're doing now, and you're focusing a bit more on this process. And then at some point, earlier rather than later, I'd say even transitioning that to be like part of your job title. And that should mean more compensation. That should mean a promotion and things like that. And so finding ways to, just really tell the value of what you're doing. That's making the company money by basically saving the money and being able to take a portion of that for your salary and for your own compensation as you should.
Yeah, I think there's some good, solid advice there. And I think it is ultimately kind of knowing your worth, but also learning your worth as well, if that makes sense. I think it's kind of both of those things put together really as a concept. So if you were to think about somebody that's in a role that involves DevOps, what skills or attributes do you think you would use to describe that person? We've already touched on it's a little bit different between different organizations, but do they have perhaps great communication skills or attention to detail or technical skills?
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind for me is a level of empathy for the team that is facing issues, or you know, whatever slowing them down, and just being able to feel that same pain, maybe because you felt it yourself, or just because it pains you to see somebody do something manually that you know can be automated. Like, you can just feel it in your gut. I feel like that's important to just getting some level of joy out of the job long term as well, because that's basically the main like reward outside of the compensation that I just talked about. Like, that's the main reward, is knowing that you've like helped somebody save a little bit of time and make their, I would say even outside of the time, just like make their job a little bit more enjoyable. That's actually another metric that I've tried to figure out based on like developer happiness score or engineer happiness scores and trying to figure that out, because there's like the raw time, but there are also just some tasks that maybe don't actually take that much time, but developers just hate doing it and it just feels wrong to be doing it, just because it just, especially if they know in their own gut that this could be automated or there's some improvement, but they just don't know what it is. And so having that level of empathy and feeling that and being able to take it on and like wanting to solve it. And so usually you have to be your own product manager. And so what that looks like is getting good at having regular conversations about, measuring your own value, talking to business stakeholders, getting them on board with what's going on. Sometimes, or I'd say even more often than not, what the developers are feeling and what they need, or what the engineering team, I should say in general, what they're feeling and what they need isn't always aligned with what maybe some of the higher level directors that are the ones that are probably hiring you and paying you, basically handling your different stakeholders, which is both the team, the business, maybe a few other people. Another really important one to have.
Yeah. And I'm glad we touched on developer happiness, because ultimately a happy developer is a efficient developer, you know, and those two things feed each other. It's kind of a no-brainer. If you have a happy development team, then they're going to produce better code. It's going to come out quicker, come out cleaner. There's probably going to be fewer defects. Like all of those pros basically sell the value of that in itself. Do you think, like, having been in this game for a while, that your brain starts to think about automating more things in your life in general now? Because I certainly, like, as I lean more into DevOps and, well, Salesforce in general, I've automated like a number of things in my own personal life now that kind of make things easier. Do you just think your brain just kind of one day switches and you kind of think like that as well?
Yeah, I mean, probably too much. I mean, I don't know if you can see behind me, but I've got a few smart home things. That's like one of my personal passions. So I'm always automating the space, like physical space I'm living in, to my boyfriend's frustration sometimes. Because I gotta, it's actually a good reminder. I gotta like make sure he's on board, get my stakeholders on board.
Yeah. And stakeholder management.
And, yeah, document things. And
I can certainly lean into like automating things. I think it was you actually that introduced me to Calendly, and I now use that to manage this podcast, and people book their own slots and I don't have to worry about time zones or availability or anything anymore. And then I kind of put my nerd hat on, my developer hat, whatever, and I've now got that hooked up into a Salesforce org, which then finds the episode and progresses the status of the episode with the recording date in it once it's been booked. Like it matches the two things up. And I kind of got to a point, touching a little bit on what you said there, like of accepting that was good enough. I could automate it even more. I could, I don't know, use Salesforce to send out reminders or like thank you emails or surveys or things like that. But for me right now, that meets the need. And I think like that's enough. Do you kind of see yourself drawing that line as well?
That brings to mind, like, again, that like product manager mindset, and especially the piece of creating and thinking about MVPs, so minimum viable product, which is basically this idea of like what is the minimum you can do. And that's something I feel like has probably saved myself in both in work and in personal life a lot of time, and just stopping and asking the question of whatever solution you're about to implement, whatever you're about to do, taking a step back and like, do we really need to do this in this way? Or can we do like a much smaller version of it?
Thinking about this now and kind of pivoting a little bit back to DevOps. But if there was one thing you'd like to change or make more people aware of about DevOps, like think of a common misconception or a myth or something that you want to debunk.
I think bringing in somebody to do DevOps, I think the biggest misconception is that you get the most value out of them when they're doing tasks and automating things, which can be really valuable. But I think the misconception is that the real value comes from them improving a team culture around this mindset of DevOps and around this mindset of everybody pitching in to make things more efficient. I think it's kind of a similar concept of when you bring in somebody to do quality or a QA engineer, like they shouldn't be the only ones doing testing. The whole team should be doing testing to a certain degree, and they're just more of the expert, or same with accessibility, or even design to a certain degree. Like designer is probably designing a lot of things, but hopefully creating a culture of like better design within the team, bringing in DevOps and bringing in that automation into the idea of what you're building that is part of the product. And this is actually like based on Jason Lance's, who he's the creator, original creator of Cumulus CI, leading that team at Salesforce.org back in the day. But I think he's the one that really talked about basically all of the metadata and all this automation. This is actually part of what you are building from day one. I think he might even, I have to ask, but I think he might even bring in the idea of like the tests are also part of your product. All these things should be thought of holistically as whatever you're delivering, either internally to your internal customers, or if it's a managed package, you know, whatever it is, this is all should be thought of as part of the product. And so everything that your developers are doing, everything that your testers are doing to manage their test environments and to manage the creation and delivery of this product, the promotion to different environments, all that kind of, it's all part of what your product is, and it should be maintained that same way.
Circling back a little bit to developer happiness maybe, but it's almost product efficiency then kind of leads to happy customers and happy clients at the end of it as well. So I think, again, those types of things and definitely that way of working could feed those areas. So I think that's great. Well, unfortunately, we are now having to bring the session for today to a close. But before we do go, is there a way for people to connect with you? And are there any kind of other pieces of content or resources that you'd like to shout out that are good for somebody that's kind of wanting to learn more and get started?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely one of the best ways to connect with me. So if you just go in and type Julian Joseph Salesforce, I'll probably be the first one that comes up. Nice. Also have a URL that I think works, julian.social. Maybe it needs like a www at the beginning. I just got that one set up recently, but that should go to my link tree, which should link out to my portfolio and things like that. In terms of other resources, definitely that Trailhead on Cumulus CI is a really good and fun one that I think anybody like trying to try things out. I also look up David Reed, who is another one of like the maintainers and
Salesforce.org, right?
He's also Salesforce.org. Yeah. He has a great blog. Muse Labs has some great blog entries. That's Jason Lance's company. Just on the theory of DevOps. There's some great stuff out there. Probably a lot of people already know about Andrew Davis's book. I believe it's Mastering Salesforce DevOps. Pablo, whose last name is escaping me right now, is another great one. So yeah, there's some great people out there with great blogs and resources.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks again for your time today, and hopefully we will inspire more of the audience to be more DevOps or just explore it. So thanks again for your time. Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments